All right. Well, it's good to see everyone this morning, and here we are yet on another Sunday and gathered together, and we are going to be in the book of Hosea again this morning. We're going to finish out the book of Hosea, so in your Old Testament, if you'll turn there, and we'll look at some things this morning. Our lesson has me covering chapters number 10, chapter 11, chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14, and so we're just going to kind of give you the thought of each chapter this morning, and we'll see what we can come up with this morning on that. I really don't have many notes. I hate to say maybe we may end just a little early, and then I may go over just a little bit, but I really don't have a lot of notes down, but we'll look at some important points that we'll find here in these chapters this morning, and we'll pray first. I think Ms. Barbara said that Brother Earl is preaching a funeral today for someone, and so do pray for him and in that situation. And he's not just real familiar with the person, I don't think, that passed away. And those are hard funerals to preach when you don't know much about a person. But it is an opportunity to maybe share the gospel with someone. So maybe today will be a good day for someone maybe to trust Christ as their Savior, or at least be able to plant the seed. One thing about a funeral, it does make everybody realize death does come. And so, you know, the minds of the people are at least on that point. Now, their heart may not be there, but maybe through the preaching of the Word of God, maybe their hearts will be convicted as well if there's people there that are lost that need to be saved. So do pray for that as well. So let's pray, and we'll jump right into our lesson this morning. Hosea, we're in chapter 10. That is the chapter that we will begin with, and we'll finish out through the end of chapter number 14. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray this morning and ask for Brother Earl this morning that you would bless him as he preaches a funeral this morning. Lord, maybe not the easiest situation, as he does not really know the family maybe or those that may be there at the funeral. But God, I pray that you'll just use that time to preach your word. And Lord, I pray that those that are present, that they would open up their minds and their hearts to the preaching of your word today. We pray that, Lord, if there's anybody that's lost that may be there today, that they would see their need of salvation today. And maybe even today would be the day of salvation for some at that place today. So do pray for that. We also, Lord, pray for our church this morning, for your blessings upon our services today. We pray for the service this morning, that your blessings will be upon the message. We pray that you would help us once again to gain what you have for us today. And God, we know you have something in store for us. And God, please help us to do our part, be good listeners today. We do pray, Lord, for many prayer requests that are no doubt present this morning. Maybe those that have been given this past week. We do want to pray for the needs of your people. And we pray, Lord, that you would take and supply the needs. And Lord, I pray that you would take and help those that are in need this morning. We do, Lord, pray for our country today. Lord, it's so obvious to everyone that we are in a spiritual need of revival. And God, we do pray for that, for our nation, that our nation could once again experience a good revival that would spread across this land. And God, we do pray for that. We also, Lord, pray for our missionaries today. And Lord, as our church supports many, we just pray for each and every one that you would take, that you would bless, that you would help them. We pray that you would supply their needs. And Lord, no doubt many of them probably have large needs, and we just pray that you would help supply those to them today. We also pray, Lord, that you would empower them as they serve you. We pray that you would give them the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding as they serve you around the world, that you would help and bless in and through their lives today and help them. Lord, we also pray for those this morning that may have lost loved ones, maybe a lost friend, maybe a relative, or Lord, maybe even a stranger that we may pass through and come in contact with someone this week that needs to be saved. Help us to be a good witness, a good testimony, and we do pray for the lost today. God, we pray that you take the next few moments as we study your word. We pray for your blessings upon this time. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, we're in Hosea chapter number 10, Hosea chapter number 10 this morning. And before we get into the reading here, let me just lay just a little bit of a foundation of something that I think we need to make sure that we understand, especially when you read through the Old Testament. Hosea was a prophet of God. We mentioned that back 2 weeks ago. He is a man called of God. He is a man that has a very large ministry, a very important ministry, and that is going to be to deliver the message of God to the people of God. We mentioned last week there's also another group of spiritual leaders, and that are the priests that were present at that time as well. Now, the priest had traveled a dark path as well. If you remember last week, we discussed a little bit about the corruption that took place among the priests as well. In fact, they had started joining with the ungodly, sinful people that were involved in idol worship, and it just progressed down a very dark path. We discussed a little bit of the sins that they were involved in, and we just kind of touched on some of the major sins they were involved in. I realize sin is sin, but we kind of painted a little bit of a picture of the darkness of the hour of the day, of Hosea and where the people of God came from and where the people of God went to. Very important you understand that. Now, you have to understand the difference also between a prophet and a priest. Very important we understand this. A priest is a man who represented the people of Israel to God. Right? They were the men that were called of God, that represented the people of Israel to God. It was the priest that would make offerings to God for the sins of the people. And we're not going to go into a lot of study about all that the priests were involved in, but you've got to understand their role and what their ministry or job, if you would like to call it that, what their ministry was. And so they represented the people of Israel to God. Now, Hosea was not a priest. He was a prophet. Now, a prophet was one. It was a man who represented God to the people. So it's the flip opposite. The prophet was the man of God that would represent God to the people. They would tell the people what God wanted them to do. Right? So they were a messenger of God. They would be the ones that would bring the message, and the message would be from God, and it would tell the people what God wanted them to do. So the prophet represented God to the people. The priest basically represented the people to God. So just keep that in mind as you read through the Old Testament, that the priest and prophets were not the same. You may think sometimes their ministries were a little similar, maybe in some cases, maybe so, but basically their ministries were different in many, many ways. Both of these were very important in the ministry of God. It was very important that the priest and their job that they had, and only select ones could perform the job of a priest. Not anyone could just do that. And then also the prophet of God, the called prophets of God, and their ministry was very important as well. Now, as we go through the book of Hosea, you'll find that it's a period of time where the people of God basically, and sadly, they rejected both of these offices. They rejected the office of the priest, even though many of the priests did join with the sinful people. But then also they rejected also the office of the prophet, as the prophets would deliver the message of God to the people and tell them what God wanted them to do. Now, neither office could force the people to do anything. It still came down to a choice that the people had of what they were going to do, or how they would respond, or whether they received the message or not, or whether they obeyed the message or not. So it's important that you understand both of those categories. Now, as you read through the history of the people of God and the nation, if you would, of Israel, you'll find that there were a lot of good times when they followed God, and there were a lot of bad times when they chose not to follow God. Now, the same principles that you can find in the book of Hosea are very prevalent and very present in the day and age that we live in. America is not above God. America is not, America cannot survive without God. And we as a nation have to understand that. Now, today, we do not have what we would call a priest. Brother Richardson, our pastor, is not a priest this morning. I do not go to him and confess my sins unto him, and somehow he absolves my sins. That's not the way it works. He is what we would call a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we also would classify him as a pastor. He is the pastor of Grace Baptist Church. He is the one that leads the church. He is the one that that delivers the message of God to the church. And so we have to keep that in mind as well. Now, we live in a day and age where the man of God is not held in high regard like it ought to be. And I understand there's so many religions out there. I understand that. I understand if we were to go home, you could turn on the religious broadcast, and you're going to find a lot of nut jobs on there that are not really men called of God. But we have to understand that our land does have many men that are called of God. God placed a calling on their life, called them into the ministry of God. And, you know, we have to understand that all of us as a child of God, we're all in the ministry of God. We're all called to serve. But a pastor has, his job is different than the average maybe church member this morning. Brother Richardson's position and his place this morning is as the pastor of Grace Baptist Church. Now, his job, and I don't like to really call it a job, his ministry is multifaceted, and we don't have time to go into a lot of detail on it, but he is the pastor of the church, period. We're not pastors. We are members of this church that he pastors this morning, okay? We run into a lot of problems in religion today or in churches today where too many church members want to be the pastor, and they're not the pastor. There's only one pastor, and by the way, it's a man. It's never a woman. Make sure you understand that. It never has been, never will be. And we have our place in the ministry as a member of this congregation, of this church and so forth, but it's not my job, nor is it your job to be the pastor this morning. It's his job. Now, this past week during camp meeting, some of you maybe were able to even come all day Thursday and Friday, and I don't know, how many messages were preached through the week? Was it 14? 15. 15 messages, I think, preached throughout the week. Each message was by, well, I think Brother Benny maybe preached more than once, but a few people preached more than once. Just Brother Benny this morning preached more than once, but there were a lot of different men that were called of God that preached in the pulpit of this church this past week. Now, they're not the pastor of this congregation, but many of them, not all of them, but many of them pastor other churches and is the pastor of those churches. Brother Benny is an evangelist, and I don't know, there might have been, I don't know if there was another one or two here. I think Brother, there were more than one. Let's see, Brother Benny's an evangelist who, Brother Sisson was here. He preached, I think, one morning. See, the only other evangelist? Okay, Brother Clark. So maybe three evangelists out of that group as well. Their ministry is different than being a pastor. And we're not going to go into a lot of detail about that this morning, but we do have to make sure we understand that those men that are called of God hold a very high office. Their ministry is extremely important, and I could even go further. I don't know that this is not really a correct statement this morning, but as we see the day darkening, and it's getting worse and worse, their positions or their ministries is that much more important. Now, I know that it's always been important, and that's not really a correct statement, but I think you understand what I'm saying. As we see the day growing dimmer and darker, those positions of ministry that God's called them to is extremely important in the day and age we live in.
Now, we read through the book of Hosea, and you're going to find out that Hosea had a very important job, a very important ministry, as he's delivering the message from God. Now, nothing has changed since the book of Hosea to today. The man of God that is called of God to preach a message of God in the year 2016 is just as important as Hosea was in his day. We have to understand that. But I'm afraid sometimes that preachers are kind of, and maybe not looked down upon, but maybe just not regarded as highly as they should be. Now, we don't worship the preacher or the evangelist, but we do recognize this morning that God's called them for a specific job, and they have a specific job to do called of God. So Hosea's position is a very important position. Boy, as the priest went by the wayside and the prophets were the only ones really remaining that stood true to the word of God, I mean, they were extremely important. And, I do kind of, because I did pastor for many, many years, I realized the difficulty. I mean, it's not easy pastoring today. I mean, it's a difficult, and forgive me for calling it a job, or I need to make sure I call it a ministry. It is a very difficult ministry called of God. Now, I didn't hear any of them complaining and griping that God called them into the ministry. Everybody that I heard preach this past week was very excited about being called of God and preaching the word of God. And as you go through the week, you realize a lot of their themes, a lot of times they would focus a little bit on the day and age that we're living in and the trouble we are in as a nation. And boy, we better repent and get back to God, or we're going to go down the toilet real quick here as a nation. And we're headed, I mean, maybe we're already down there. I don't know. I think somebody's already flushed it. We're going down the sewer line. That's a terrible illustration on Sunday morning. But I'm amazed sometimes at preachers and the stamina they have and the determination that they may have. And to me, that came across. I guess everybody, as you go through a message, you kind of, everybody gleans something from it different than everybody else. I can hear a man preach and get something out of it. And Brother Dwayne maybe sat right beside me. He gets something totally different out of the message. But we have to realize and understand how important it is that we do our part to try to encourage whoever the man of God may be, whether it be the evangelist in the pulpit, whether it be the missionary that is visiting in the pulpit, or whether it be the weekly pastor that stands in the pulpit. I mean, I was able to talk to a few preachers, and a few of them I kind of know over the past few years, and am able to talk with a little bit and so forth. And I was in a conversation with one just the other day. Actually, it was on Friday, and talking to him a little bit about his, what's taking place the past year in your life, good things going, very positive and so forth. The only negative thing that he had to say is he said, "I hadn't had a pay raise in 11 years." Now, I don't know about you, but if I went back 11 years, I promise you things were cheaper 11 years ago than they are today. And I could sense a little bit, maybe a little bit of discouragement there a little bit, and kind of, but usually if a preacher tells you that, he's struggling big time. Now, that tells me that the church that he is pastoring, he's a pastor, may not be doing all that they should do to take care of the pastor. Now, there are times when maybe a pastor's offered a pay raise and he may turn it down. Sometimes that may happen and so forth. And I didn't go into a lot of detail and so forth about maybe that issue, but we kind of talked about it for just a few moments and so forth. And I guess my response to that is that ought not to happen in a church. Period. Now, I don't know anything about the situation of the church. I don't know what their finances may be. I have no idea what their attendance may be. To be honest with you, I really don't care what the attendance is. I mean, preachers are the world's worst sometimes. Number one question a pastor or a preacher will ask another preacher, do you know what the number one question is? How many you running? And sometimes you just need to tell them, you know, I got so many people running, you know, in and so many people running out, I don't know what I'm running anymore. Somehow we put in that class of whether you're a success or whether you're a failure on how many are you running. Do you know how many Hosea was running? How about zero? Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think Sword of the Lord is going to come to Hosea's church and do a study on him and put him on the front page of the Sword of the Lord. Now, I'm not criticizing Sword of the Lord. Maybe I shouldn't use him as an example, but it's amazing how those who make it to those publications are the big ones. Hosea's ministry, if you look into his ministry, was a very, very discouraging ministry. He is dealing with a stiff-necked, backslidden, sinful, ungodly group of God's people. Now, let me stop and say this real quickly, and we'll get into our lesson here. Hosea's ministry that was called, he was called of God to be a prophet of God, to deliver the message of God to the people of God. And when you read through the book of Hosea, Hosea could not be any more successful than what he was in doing God's will. Now, if you look at the results, you're not going to be impressed. Because the more that he preached to them, the further they went away from God. Now, you know, it's the complete opposite. Any man of God that preaches to the people of God and he's trying to get them back to God, I mean, we classify success is in how many of those people come back to God. And you're going to find in his ministry that it was very discouraging because he preached over and over and over with zero results. I mean, the more that he would highlight their sin and show them their backslidden, ungodly state, the further they would go away from him. Talking about God. It was the opposite effect of what you would expect when you preach the Word of God. Now, if you take the ministry of Hosea and we were to spotlight it, there's a lot of positive things. He pleases God. He does what God tells him. He delivers the message of God. He doesn't change. He doesn't compromise. He doesn't try to water it down. He doesn't try to soften it up a little bit. He doesn't try to paint a prettier picture than what it really is. He doesn't try to make it not sound quite as bad. I mean, he just gave the message the way God gave it to him. And he preaches and he preaches and he preaches, and his results are horrible. Not only is the ministry not going well for him, his adulterous wife left him for a period of time. Now, you know as well as I do, we being good Baptists this morning, we would have written him off right there. You know he's not doing something right. His wife left him, and you know, you could just go down through the category of what we think success is in a man of God, and he's going to have a lot of zeros by his name. In the eyes of man, he's probably a failure. But in the eyes of God, he could never be any more successful than what he was, because he accomplishes what God calls him to do. Now, every ministry is different. Every church is different today. We'll kind of come back a little bit to our day and age and so forth. Every area is different. I mean, you take missionaries, for example. You take two missionaries. And I've used this illustration before. If you have one man going to England and you got one guy going to the Philippines, I promise you the guy going to the Philippines is going to have better numbers. Does it mean the guy that goes to England is not as spiritual? Not at all. But we have to understand and realize, as a child of God in the year 2016, and I don't care if it be the preacher, the pastor, the evangelist, the missionary, whoever it may be, we need to hold them in high regard and realize that they're called of God. And we need to be an encouragement, not a discouragement. We need to be someone that's supportive, not somebody that's not supportive and so forth. And so, you know, and as I read through the book of Hosea, I realize, man, how discouraging must it have been? I mean, they were so far gone from God. I mean, we described a little bit last week of some of the things that were happening actually in the temple, the house of God, and how they took the house of God and actually they brought their idol worship into the actual house of God. They allowed spiritual activities to take place in the house of God that was so ungodly that we discussed last week, and it progressed and became so horrible. And here's Hosea still trying to plead with that people of God to come back to God. Now, I would have gotten discouraged. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I don't know if I could have kept up with the pace a little bit with Hosea, because it would have been easy for me just to say, you know what? You know, you're so stiff-hearted. You're so backslidden. You're so ungodly. You know, just have at it and let God judge you and let God kill most of you off. And we're going to, if you study, you'll find the judgment of God does come to them. Many, many of them are actually going to lose their lives. But yet Hosea, and if you hear the name Hosea brought up, just always remember he stayed faithful to God. Didn't have great results, according to what man would call great results. But you know, when you do exactly what God calls you to do, it doesn't matter what man thinks about you, whether he thinks you're successful or not. When you do what God calls you to do, you're always successful in the eyes of God. So Hosea, we're going to find here, is delivering the message. It began back in chapter 6. I think it was halfway down through the chapter is when he starts delivering this message of God. And it's multifaceted. I mean, it's calls from all points in this message. It's a pretty interesting message. You have to really focus a little bit and stay focused on what you're reading, and realizing that this is what God's calling the people to do here. And in chapter 10, and that's where we're at this morning, this is where we're kind of picking up this morning, you're going to find that in the chapter 10, God basically calling the people of God and telling them it's time that you repent and come back to God. Now, repentance is very important in this message. You'll find that in chapter 10, I'll skip down, and you'll find, and I'm just going to use an example here of illustrations that Hosea would use as he delivers the message of God. In chapter 10, down in verse number 12, he uses a farming illustration here. Look at verse number 12 as we look here. He says, "Sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground," talking about their heart and their life that they were living and how hard that they had become. And he's using a farming illustration about how that, you know, we need to get in your heart and start plowing up your heart a little bit. He goes on in verse number 12. It says, "Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. You have plowed wickedness. You have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of the mighty men." So he's describing a little bit here. And basically in this chapter, number 10 here, he's telling them, you better repent. You better realize where you are and the sinfulness of your life. And boy, you better admit it to God and tell God and beg God for help and for mercy. So he uses a farming, and he uses a lot of different types of illustrations. And I'm saying that because if you were to go back and study through the book of Hosea, I mean, it'll go from illustration to illustration to illustration, and you can kind of get lost and confused a little bit. But just understand that as he's delivering this message to the people of God, he's using something that they're very familiar with. Basically, he's giving a message here, or an illustration in the message, about sowing and reaping. And the reason they are in the condition that they're in is because that's what they've been sowing in their life. I mean, if you just live your life and you sow wickedness every day of your life, you're going to reap it. That's what's going to grow in your life. You know the old illustration of sowing and reaping, it hasn't changed since the day that Hosea gave it to the people of Israel. It hasn't changed since then till today. It still applies today. I mean, you live your life every day and you just sow wickedness and ungodliness and filth in your life. Guess what's going to come out in your life? Wickedness, ungodliness, and filth in your life. And he's basically calling them to come back to God, and he's trying to show them they're wrong. And you know, conviction has to take place before repentance can take place, before forgiveness can take place. But they had a problem. They had a heart problem. And Hosea goes right to the problem. The problem is the heart of the individual, and it is still today the problems that we have in life are because of heart problems. Spiritual heart problems in life. And he delivers the message. And he calls him and basically tells him, it's time. The time is now to turn to God. The time is now to repent of your ungodliness and come back to God. And the time is now. And they don't listen. They still are hardened to the message of God. And boy, as I was kind of studying a little bit through the book of Hosea, it just made me realize, I mean, how long do you keep preaching and how long do you keep warning and how long, can you keep going and have zero results? Now, as we apply it a little bit to our day and age that we live in, I think there's not a preacher this past week out of, how many did you say, 15, I think, 15 different preachers this past week that would not say that we are headed, in, as far as church is concerned, I don't know about all churches represented this past week, it's getting tougher and tougher. Now, we can blame a lot of things. We can, and basically, the only people that we need to blame is ourselves. We're not going to do that. We're going to blame everybody else but ourselves. We can blame it on the hour we live in, the darkness, the wickedness that's out there, the ungodliness that's out there, having to battle Satan and all the lies that have been fed to the people of today. We can blame the preacher. We can blame the deacons. We can blame the Sunday school teacher. We can blame this. We can blame that. But when it really comes down to it, the reason we're losing ground is because of us. Now, some will say, but that's what's going to happen. I mean, we can read God's word and realize that there's going to be a falling away. There's going to be a hardness of the people. There's going to be a hardened of the heart. Churches are going to going to be less than more, and I understand all that, but I still believe there's a reason why that God still has us here today, and that's to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it's not as easy. And I don't like the word easy. I don't know if it's ever been easy. I don't know. Maybe it has been easier in times past. I mean, there's such a breakdown in the home today. I mean, there's so much different today than it was 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. I mean, we're in a different world today. I understand that. That's why I believe that it's important that we understand and place the men of God in a high regard, because I tell you what, they're going to need some encouragement because of the condition that we're in today. But Hosea delivers this message. I mean, you could read down through chapter number 10, and this is a message. Let me go back here a little bit. It began in chapter 6. It began in chapter 6, verse number 4. And everything you read from chapter 6, verse number 4, all the way down through chapter 7, all the way down through chapter 8, all the way down through chapter 9, we're in chapter number 10. I mean, the message continues to go on. And he keeps going. I mean, I'm impressed with Hosea. All that he faced in his life, and I mean, the worst thing, I mean, you know, I don't find any way, I mean, where does he get any encouragement anywhere? We can say, well, he must have gotten his encouragement from God, and I believe that to be true. That's the only place I can find some encouragement. But here he is. He's delivering the message. He's using all these illustrations. He's calling them back to God. In chapter 12, he says that it is time to seek the Lord. It's time to get back to God. It's time to repent, he says here. You go to chapter number 11. And in chapter number 12, and I'm going to skip here a little bit for sake of time, but you'll find that Hosea is delivering the message continually, and he's trying to get the people to remember their past. He's trying to get them to go all the way back to when they worship God and serve God. He uses the strategy here of trying to get their mind off the present. He's trying to get their mind back to when God was their God, when they served him, when they worshiped him, when they gave their life to him. And then he reminds them of all that God did for them. You know, God, I think, always wants his people to remember the past blessings in their life, because it's easy to forget the blessings of the past. I don't think we can live in the past, and I think a lot of times we may be very guilty of living too much in the past, but it's nice every now and then to look back and realize what God's done for us. And that's what Hosea is doing in the message here. He's trying to get their minds back to what God had done for them in the past and remind them that it's God that's blessed them. That's what America needs this morning. America needs to realize the only reason we have what we have is because of God. I've got news for you this morning. We don't have what we have because of the Democratic Party, the Republican Party, the White House, the Congress, or the Supreme Court. The only reason we have what little bit we do have this morning is because of God. I mean, we could go back through history of our nation and look back at the founding of our nation and the Constitution of the United States of America. I mean, we could go back and look at all the different documents that were put together to form and to mold this country, and it was all based on the principles of the Word of God. That's why God blessed our nation so much. No other country can really go back in the history of their country or their nation and point to a founding that was surrendered around the Word of God. Only the United States of America. And here we find Hosea still pleading with the people and trying to, even tries here in chapters 11 and chapters number 12, and he tries to get the people to remember their past and remember what God had done for them and how God is the one that delivered them, and it was God that provided for them. It was God that blessed them. It was God that gave them that foundation that they had in their life. And he preaches chapters 11, and he preaches chapter number 12, and they still don't listen. How he continues, it just proves what a great person Hosea was. If we were to go visit Hosea here at the end of chapter 11 or chapter 12 and ask him how it's going, you will probably find that you would not be impressed with the results. And sometimes we've got to be careful of what we classify as success when it comes to the ministry of God. I, to be honest with you, I'm not the pastor of this church here in Madisonville, Kentucky area. I don't know what success may be for us. Now, we don't need to use we can't use it as an excuse. Well, we live in the last days. Well, we live in a dark day. And all that's true. I understand all that. But we still got to press forward, and we still got to try to do what God wants us to do. I don't know where we find anywhere in God's word where God tells us to throw in the towel and give up. It's not worth it. It's always worth it. Well, we can preach until, you know, we're blue in the face and nobody's going to listen. May be true. I'm not saying that's true or it's false. If you were at Hosea's house in chapter 11 and chapter 12, you would probably come to the conclusion, I don't even know if it's worth going out and preaching another message to them. Why? I mean, you've been preaching all throughout the book of Hosea and you got zero results. You have nothing to show for success. Nobody's impressed with your ministry. Nobody even likes you. Nobody even wants to hear you. In fact, many times the people didn't even want to hear what you had to say. So Hosea had to make a decision. Either I'm going to keep going and do what God wants me to do, or I can give up. And Hosea decides to keep going. You find in chapter 13 that Hosea kind of brings it down to where people can understand. And I'm not saying he hasn't. He always, when he delivers the message, he always tries to use an illustration that was easy for people to understand. And he's going to warn them in chapter 13 that the judgment of God is going to fall on you and you're not going to like what's going to happen. Now you find in chapter 13, I'll go down to verse number, let's go down to verse number 7. He says, therefore I will be unto them as a what? As a lion. As a leopard, by the way, will I observe them. I will meet them, in verse number 8, as a bear. Now he uses the illustration here to see. We find here he uses the illustration here of a lion, a leopard, and a bear. You see, although God had been like a father unto Israel, now he's going to be like a lion, a leopard, and a bear. And you're not going to like it when God's like a bear, a lion, and a leopard. He said, I promise you, it'd be much better if you would just repent, come back to God, and have God treat you like a father. But if you refuse and you continue down your wicked path, God's going to start treating you like a lion, a leopard, and a bear. Talking about the judgment that is coming. And that judgment does come because they still don't listen. I'm sure that, and I'm just kind of throwing in a little bit of observation here. I'm sure in the day of Hosea that there was probably some other prophets that maybe told Hosea, man, you just need to quit and throw in the towel. I don't know why you keep going out there. Why do you even go out there and keep speaking to the people here? Because they don't listen. They don't even want to hear what you've got to say. And it always comes back to this, and it's still very true today. It doesn't matter whether people want to hear, whether they like it, or whether they even like us or not. We still must do what God calls us to do. It doesn't matter how dark the day may become. It doesn't matter how little success, or we could have zero success in the eyes of man, but it doesn't mean we quit. God still has us here for a reason. The only reason that we are present today, that we're still breathing air today, that we're still alive today, is because God still has a job for us to do. I just believe this morning that when God is finished, God takes us out. As far as I think we're still alive today, and if we're breathing air today, that means God still has a job for us today. And our ministry may be a little bit like Hosea. Now, I'm saying all this to say this morning. If revival doesn't come to the United States of America, I see us as a nation going right back to where Hosea was in his day and age. Results are going to be far and few and in between. It's going to be tough. It's not going to be easy. Many people, if not most people, will not listen. But it does not mean we quit. We still keep going forward. Then you get to chapter 14. 14 is an interesting chapter. There's only 9 verses in the chapter, chapter number 14 in the book of Hosea. Let me go back to chapter 13. I want to throw in another verse here as well. Look at verse number 9 of chapter 13. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. That's a great verse. What God is telling the people through Hosea is, you've screwed it all up. You messed it all up. I mean, you failed miserably as a people. I mean, you've got yourself in a mess. I mean, there's no hope for you, but there's hope through me. Something that I think when you read verse number 9, it's a great verse for our country this morning. We have to understand and realize and tell this nation that our help is in God this morning. Now, we're reasonable people this morning. I think we're smart enough to know this morning it doesn't matter who wins the White House. Our help's not coming from either candidate or either party. I mean, they're talking this morning, oh, it doesn't matter who wins the White House. Congress is so messed up. Nothing's ever going to happen in the next 2 to 4 years anyway. And, you know, what a mess. Politics is a mess. Leadership in our country is a mess. Our nation is in a mess. Now, we're smart enough to know this morning that that's not the answer. Our only hope this morning is God. And we know that's the message this morning. So we have, as a people, have to relate that message to the world or to our country or our state or our town or our county or our area and tell the world that God is our help. Isn't it amazing how the message that Hosea gave is not really much different than the message that you heard this past week? A lot of reference and messages this past week about how sad our country is. But I think every preacher this past week referred, God's our help. We're in a mess as a nation. We are headed down the wrong path. We've already gone off the cliff, and maybe we're crashing at the end of the cliff. I don't know. But everybody that preached this past week referred to America always went back that God is our help. He's the answer. It's not much different than what you read in the book of Hosea. In fact, it's amazing how many similarities you'll find in Hosea's day that you find in our day. And then chapter 14, we'll close out here and I'll be done here. In chapter number 14, God calls him to return here through the message. He says in verse number 1, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Hosea closes out with a final plea for the people to turn to the Lord. Here's what's amazing. Even in the midst of the darkest hour for the people of God, the darkest sinful time of their day, God still loved them. Now, I believe this morning God still loves America. I don't think he loves our sin. I don't think he likes our lifestyle. He doesn't like the direction we're headed in. But God still loves the people of this nation and still wants to have relationship, communion, fellowship, worship with him. And then I'll close with the very last verse of the book of Hosea. And I think America should pay close attention to verse number 9. He says in verse number 9, who is wise and he shall understand these things, prudent, and he shall know them? For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. Same principle applies today. It's amazing. Chapter 13, verse number 9. Chapter 14, chapter number 9. Are some very good verses for our country to heed to this morning. Now, our time's out. And I don't know what the future holds for our country. I just know this morning, and we've said it for many years, that our hope is not in the White House, and we all agree to that. It's not in Congress. It's not in our state government, not in our state representative, our state or congressmen or senators or Supreme Court. A lot of talk about that as well. Our hope is right here. And what's our nation going to do with it? I do not know. The people of God refuse the message, and they do face the judgment of God. A very dark hour when God has to judge his people, but God's not afraid to go there. Can it happen to America? Very much so. Will it happen? I don't know that we can say yes or no. We can't write the final chapter because it's all in the hands of God, and it's in the hands of the decision of the people that walk in this land. Many say there's probably not very, it doesn't look very promising. But I just know this morning that God still loves the people of the United States of America and still wants them to come back to him. So it's our job to give the message that all we need to do is come back to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. We pray for the message this morning. And Lord, I pray for this time that you would bless in a special way today in the hearts of your people. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.